Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, when there's unity in the house, there's power in the house. Amen. Now, the ushers are standing right now. If you're a first-time visitor, let me see your hand. First-time visitor. Do I see? Oh, right there. Praise God, back there. All right. Any other first-time visitors? Chris, Chase, good to see you. You were born in this place with me. My goodness. If you're watching for the first time online, we want to welcome you and tell you we'll be back here at 6 tonight and 6:30 Wednesday. Please join us. And drop me a note and say, this is my first time. Again, if you're an old timer, then drop me a line too. It's all yours.
Hey, Sanctuary family, I'm going to be unmuted here in about 2 seconds. There I am. Hey, we have an important announcement today. And this is something that has kind of been under the providence of the Almighty God because of the timing of the issue. And it's something that Pastor and myself have been prayerfully considering, and it all worked out absolutely amazing how everything lined up just how it did. So we're gonna play a short video right now, and this is something that we're announcing for this church, and then I'll follow back with you.
Sanctuary family, we got an important announcement that's going to be coming up October 22nd, and that's going to be of this year, and it's going to be called Revive Us, and it's something that you've begun to feel in your heart for some time, just an urgency.
I've felt it, and I've wanted someone else to catch the fire, and you certainly caught the fire, and this paper that you wrote on it that started me to see the urgency in your heart, told me that this was going to happen, and it's going to happen through your leadership, and I thank God for that. But this is an individual growing in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah. And I think if I were going to put a Bible verse to this, it would be 2 Timothy 1:6, where Paul says, "Fan the flame of the gift of God, which was imparted to you by the laying on of hands." And that's something that, you know, as me in growing up in church whenever I was younger, I got to see that. But then there's been a gradual moving away. And it's something that I know for my children, I want them to experience the laying on of hands and the gift imparted to them by the Holy Spirit. It's not by man, but it's by the Holy Spirit. And if we in my generation are going to seek God and to fan the flame, we need to go back to what the Holy Spirit imparted to the church in Acts chapter 2.
Absolutely. And what Jesus say, "I'm going to send you the Comforter, and he's going to be that power. You have that fire." Well, John said it. He said, "I baptize you with water, but this one, Jesus, is coming to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." And it's not emotionalism, sensationalism, or fanaticism. It's a relationship with God that Jesus provided for us. The Holy Spirit resides in us, but not just resides in us, but it empowers us, right?
Yeah.
And we've lost some of that power.
Yeah. And so in October 22nd, we're not saying we're going to have a revival, but we're saying, God, revive us. Let us come back to a place of worship and putting an emphasis on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life. Not only in our services so that we can go out into the world and preach the gospel and do Matthew chapter 28.
And so we want that. God, you know, God's more than willing and wanting to pour his spirit out. It's a matter of if we want it. And I can tell you that want to is coming to this house, into this church, and to you that are watching. There's a want to there. And God's burdened a young man here called to preach in the ministry, one of our pastors, that God has burned in his heart. This flame has been fanned. And Paul, talking to Timothy, said, "Fan it." Well, it's been fanned, and you're going to see God do some wonderful things, but it has to be in each one of us.
In each one.
Well, I'm looking forward to the 22nd. And that's not one Sunday, that's from now on.
Yeah. We're going to have a focus. It's like you said, it's not a program. It's a culture change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Start October 22nd. Revive us. You'll want to be part of it.
So we would invite you to begin to prayerfully consider that in your heart. See, this, we're not proclaiming a revival. We're saying, God, revive us. We're not saying this is going to be a program or a strategy, but we're saying we're coming before the Almighty God. And in this time and place, you know, my college professor, Dr. Jimmy, said in a statistic, he said from 1995 to 2010, there's a 41% decrease of Sunday evening churches in the Pentecostal movement. In 2010, they did a study and they found that 47% had decreased in spiritual enactment and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And basically what he commissioned and what he said is, what are you going to do as the church? Are you going to sit back and just watch your children not be called? Are you going to sit back and watch the gifts of the Spirit not be imparted to them by the laying on of hands? And that's something that whenever he made us write a paper and I run it by Dad and I said, read this. And he said, that's what I've been feeling on the inside of me for so long. That we need to dig back the wells of the Pentecostal movement. We need to have Sunday evening services where we see God move in a mighty way. Where our kids are called. Where our kids are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Where they get empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a life of godliness. In this culture and in this day and age, we're seeing the world turn so quick. But what is the church? What are we going to do? We're going to cry out to God. We're going to say we're going to commission our evening services on Sunday night to be a focus on spiritual involvement in the life of the believer. And so we're going to be starting this. This isn't a program. This isn't something. This is a culture change that we're beginning to see in us. Pastors proclaimed a fast with the pastors. Pastor said we need to prayerfully be considering this in our lives. This starts in here. And so we're making this announcement today, and we're going to put this video on Facebook following this service, and we invite you to share it. Share it on your Facebook page. Share it on your social media. Spread the word saying, you know what, our church, we're going to be focused. We're going to be intentional on the Holy Spirit. And that's beginning October 22nd.
Pastor Benaiah said, share it. Would you please do that with as many people as you can? If you have a list of people, do it. Now, Sanctuary, listen to me. Our future depends on this kind of growth right here. And I'm asking you as your pastor to get behind this. I want to see a move of God in our house. We're living in a world of apostasy today. We're living in a world of false doctrines. We're living in a world of the enemy trying to lower the power of the church, and we see that. Now, whoever told you or told any of us, and I'm not speaking against any friends, I'm not criticizing, but anyone that told you that Sunday night services, Sunday morning, and an hour Sunday morning is good enough is wrong, that's got to come back to where we were. The greatest services we ever had when I was growing up was our Sunday evening services. That was the rally. So I'm praying that you will change your schedule and get by. And you say, well, they won't miss me. Yes, they will. We'll miss you. I'm asking everyone to do something maybe you haven't done or something you used to do and get back to this, because this is the sanctuary's opportunity from God to have a change and go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit in this day. Now, we're living in a day that's unprecedented. This situation that's in Israel right now, I'm not preaching about that, but I will tell you this is called Israel's 9/11. There are perpetrators, these Hamas have gone into the houses of the people in the Gaza Strip there, and they're dressed there. They're killing Israeli soldiers, taking them captive, taking their uniforms, and looking like friends and coming in and literally slaughtering the people. They have videos of these Hamas terrorists dragging a dead woman by the hair of her head, stripped naked, through the street, showing what they've done, killing children. This is something that's got to be stopped, amen? And God's going to empower Israel to do that. And you say, well, it's in Israel. It could never be here. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. In any country that turns its back on God, and not that Israel has, but I'm saying that's God's chosen people. But any country that has suppressed the power of God is in danger of all of these things happening. And in this church, we're going to do everything we can to reverse that. Amen? If you're with me on this, say amen. Amen. Church, I've never been more serious about getting involved in something in my life in this church in 20, going on 21 years, than I am this Revive Us. God put this in my heart a couple years ago, but I said, God, raise somebody up. You've got to raise somebody up to do this. And Pastor Benai came to me, and it was exactly what my heart was. I know it's of God, but your involvement individually is going to signal God in this house. And I believe God's going to fill this house on Sunday evenings. We're going to see your prayer request answered. Miracles take place. Your family saved. Healings and situations. This isn't emotionalism. It's not fanaticism. It's not sensationalism. I said that. This is a sovereign move of God. Amen? How many wants the real thing? That's exactly what is going to take place here. Now, I don't know if you're sensing what I am, but if you're not sensing something going on in the atmosphere or in the church of God, and I'm saying as the general church, true church of God in America, or in your spirit, if you're not sensing something right now, I'd be very surprised. It's not something I can put my finger on or label or clearly define, but I'm sensing something happening, and what I'm sensing isn't driven by the news. It's not the attack on Israel. It's not spiritual condition of America or of the world. What I'm sensing inside of me is an awareness and a stirring and a brokenness and a love for Jesus Christ and an anticipation of an outpouring of the glory of God in His presence through Jesus Christ in this church and in our community. And I'm sensing that's happening right now. Can anyone else say amen to that? While society's trying to silence the name of Jesus, and we hear that and see that on a regular basis, and put quietness on that power, on the emphasis on Jesus. Now, they don't care if you pray to God, but when we say Jesus, that strikes a note with society today, because that's the name of the arch enemy of all that we have. That Satan knows that name causes him to have to crumble, him to have to retreat, and him to have to bow. Now, you've read the scripture maybe, or maybe not, or heard the scripture, and the scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Would you say amen if you know that, if you've heard that? Let me tell you what that, many people believe that that's in the last times, that that's in the judgment of God, that everybody will have to say, I give, you're right, I quit. But that's not true. Listen to me, and listen to me closely. The name of Jesus, wherever it's mentioned, in any circumstance or any situation, when the name of Jesus comes up, at that point, the enemy has to bow its knee and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. When Jesus confronted the demonic of Gadara, when he came across Galilee, and he came onto that place where that demonic had a legion from 2,000 to 12,000 demons had infested that one man. And who cares after 1,000 demons are too many? And they infested that man. When they ran to Jesus, they bowed before him and said, what have you come to do? Why have you come to torment us Jesus, Son of the living God. You see, they bowed before him. And there's never a time today or tomorrow or at the end of time that Satan will not have to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's authority in the name of Jesus. There's healing in your body in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance from drugs and alcohol, from sin of any kind in the name of Jesus. And all the glory and honor of God is encapsulated in that name by the authority of God the Father. And he tells us to use that name. And in using that name, there's going to be incredible things that happen. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he's described, I love Isaiah chapter 9, when the prophet, verse 6 of Isaiah says that he shall be called wonderful. I'm going to do something today. The other night I spoke, I was honored, Ruth and I spoke to a combined group of the Springfield Police Department and the Greene County Sheriff's Department. And their husbands and wives that came together from churches that put this together in Springfield. And by the way, I got to sit by Chief Paul Williams, the chief of the Springfield Police Department, and his wife, and Ruth and I can tell you, they are sold out children of God. Isn't it good to have a chief of police in Springfield that's unequivocally unashamed of Jesus? But we were talking to those people, and I was speaking to those people, and I begin, and what I'm telling you is they asked for a bio from me, and so I sent them my bio. It's called a Vita. And you say all the things you've done and who you are. And so I didn't know they sent it to everybody there. And I was a little embarrassed because all the things they saw. But they read my bio. And so when I came up, people would say to me, in fact, Paul Williams, Chief Williams' wife said, we know you all went to Evangel. Our son goes to Evangel University. She was telling me different things, and people said, oh, we read your bio. And I thought, boy, they know something about me. And I was studying this today, and I thought, I think maybe it's time to read the bio of Jesus. Let's talk about what he is, not what he's not. Because the world's talking about what he's not. I love to watch Discovery because it's my idea of comedy. When they tell me how the universe was formed and how 4 billion years ago Saturn got the rings around it. And we don't have any time in history past, what is the year today? 57, what is it, Michael? 5734 or 84. We just went through Shabbat. And this is the year change, the new year, 5784 from the creation of Adam. So we know that many years ago, 5,784, but past that, believe me, it's just science trying to be silly. And they tell us what happened to 1 billion or 4 billion. That's foolishness. Let me tell you what happened. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning was God. That's what happened. And God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke the firmament, and the billions and trillions of cosmos all came together by the voice of an almighty God. He created heaven and earth. He created mankind. He created the animals. And it was all done, according to John chapter 1, by Jesus Christ himself. So there's some things about him we need to know. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 starts out with this wonderful explanation in short order. He shall be called wonderful. Huh. He's wonderful. I was sitting in front of Maranatha Village several years ago, and Dr. Marvin Gorman and Sister Gorman was in the car with me. And as we were standing there, one of the great, great men of God, the statesman of God, Dr. Paul Loewenberg, was walking up the sidewalk. He's a renowned theologian, and Dr. Loewenberg was there, and I pushed the window. It came down, and Sister Gorman was sitting in front, and Pop Gorman was sitting in the back, and I said, Dr. Loewenberg, and he walked up to me, and he went, yes, now you'll have to help me. He said, I have Alzheimer's. And I wouldn't remember if I had lunch with the Queen of England yesterday, sir. And I said, well, do you know who I am? No. I said, Sam Connolly. He goes, keep on. Ruthie, Ruthie Howard. I was at your wedding, wasn't I? Yes, you were, Dr. Loewenberg. How's Gail and Maxine? They're in heaven. And I kept talking, and I said, do you know this lady? And he said, I know her. I just can't, you know, I've got this disease now, you know. And so I said, this is Sister Gorman, Virginia Gorman. Oh, and then he said, how's your husband? And we rolled down the back window, and they, old friends reunited, and we were talking. And then Dr. Loewenberg said this. He said, Sam, I won't get to preach in a church again because of this sickness I have, this disease. I'll lose my place. But God still anoints me with his word. And he gave me a message. And I want to tell you something. When this old man of God, 94 years old, that was tall, 6'3" or 6'4" and straight, and just looked like a leader, a senator, a governor, he's standing there. He said, this is a title of a message God has given me, and I'll give it to you. And as he began to talk, he said, here's the title, and he shall be called Wonderful. And when he said that, the glory of God came in that car, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit came in that car. I looked at Dr. Gorman, and I said, Pop, have you got goosebumps? He said, big as doorknobs, because there's something about Jesus that's indescribable. And I'll start it out by saying this, he shall be called Wonderful. Not only is he Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I'm telling you a few of the bios, of the biopsy of the bios of Jesus Christ, but I want to go into it greater. I want to talk about who you've put your trust in. I want to renew your understanding that with all the things that are going on in the world, they hold no power against the power of Jesus' name. They have no authority over the name of Jesus. And as you, as a child of God, you're connected to this branch. You're a vine onto it. You're just a little bit of it. You're a part of it. You're fed through the glory. And your nourishment comes through God, but it comes through Jesus Christ to you. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he'll be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and peace, there will be no end. No. This is ongoing. You say, but look at the world. The world's in control. I can't do it anymore. I'll lose my breath. Jesus Christ is in control. Let me tell you something. The very Spirit of God is allowing the spirit of Antichrist to come together and play into the very hands of God. Revelation, I'm teaching Revelation right now. You should be online watching it. You should be in this house watching it. I'll be doing chapter 19 this coming Wednesday. But all of these teachings are proving one thing, that the church is the church, and it's the radiant church. It's not a disheveled, broken down bridegroom, but it is a bride that's beautiful and wealthy and healthy and strong, and that's how the church is going to go out of here, not beaten down and persecuted and put in a corner. The voice of Jesus Christ is coming through the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ, and we're going to stand tall and erect and proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord, and one day he's going to call us out in an instant, in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, and we're going to forever be with him in his glory. And this plan of the Antichrist, this short 7-year period, is going to be ultimately destroyed by the power of God. Don't think for one second Jesus is not in control. He's in control. The fact he's in control can give you the peace, can give you the comfort, can give you the assurity. There's a longing in my heart. There's a deep longing in my spirit to speak the name of Jesus. Jesus, Lord, Savior, Redeemer. He forgave me when I wasn't forgivable. He cleansed me when I was filthy. He restored me and gave me back more than I lost myself, and has continued to do that. He's wonderful to me and to you. There's a greater awareness of his desire and his willingness to heal the sick sin sick. Listen to this. There's a greater awareness in my spirit of his desire and his willingness to heal the sin sick, to heal the broken, to restore health. There's something going on in me that's bigger than the news, bigger than the government's attempt to control. Something so great, it has got to be Jesus and Jesus alone that's going on in my heart. It's a power of the Holy Spirit, and that power hasn't changed. It's the same power that baptized 120 in the upper room. It's the same power that took the house of Cornelius and baptized them in the Holy Spirit. It's the same power that baptized Paul on the road to Damascus. It's the same power that took my little Alabama mother and baptized her in the Holy Spirit in that revival. It's the same power that took my father, a Jew in America, born of a Jew and in the blood of Judaism, and took him from that point to the baptism of the Holy Spirit that preached his life in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That power is the same. It hasn't diminished. It hasn't changed. And my dedication to him isn't diminished. It's growing stronger through the power of the name of Jesus. I prayed with Dr. Hill this morning. Several pastors. He said, "What are you preaching on?" Or, "Here's the title. What's all the fuss? What's all the fuss? What's all the fuss?" Trying to suppress Jesus. You can't suppress Jesus. You can't stop Jesus. Do you think some flimsy, little, arrogant bunch of liberal, godless people that make some laws can stop the power of the name of Jesus? Are you silly? My friends, listen, you're listening to the wrong newscast. You're reading the wrong bios, because the ones that you read and the people that you read have about maybe a 70, 80, 90 year length. But I'm talking about the biography and the vita and the truth I'm going to describe to you of one that was everlasting, who has never been, had a beginning, never has an ending. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He is God, and beside him there is none other. You see, something's going on in me. And if I can, I'm not too big to get on my knees and beg you to join me. Well, Pastor, you don't have to do that. I will. If I can show you what Jesus is going to do in this house, and what he's going to do in you individually, how he's going to take you and mold you and change you and bring you out of your ideologies and thoughts and what you believed you knew into the truth of who he is, I promise you, you would rearrange your schedule and you would change it, because there's something that's going on. And I can hear the sound of a rushing mighty wind. I can hear it. I hear it now. I'm hearing it this very second. I hear the sound of this house, this wind that's coming in here. And if you'll listen real close, listen, you'll start hearing it in your spirit. You'll hear it in your spirit. It's a powerful wind. It's a wind of glory. It's a wind of who he is. It's the greatness of him. You'll catch it. You'll catch his presence. It'll change you, it'll remold you, it'll refresh you, it'll bring joy and power to you. Listen, listen. And you can hear the wind, because the wind's blowing. The wind is blowing. Who is Jesus? Is he who the world says he is? No. The world doesn't know my Lord. The world doesn't know my Savior. But I do. And I know some things about him. So let's start in Genesis. Will you still stick with me? There's 66 Bibles, books in the Bible. And I've combined a few. But let me read the biography of Jesus, if you'll let me say amen. Amen. In Genesis, Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night that led the Israelites out of Egypt. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet. Unlike Moses, in Joshua, he's the commander of the Lord's army. Amen. Somebody say amen with me. If this one hits you, say amen while I'm saying it. In Judges, he is our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is the seed of David. In Ezra, he is our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of everything that's been broken. In Esther, he is our Mordecai and our advocate. In Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he's our shepherd. In Proverbs, he's our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's our meaning for life. This is Jesus I'm talking about. In the Song of Solomon, he's our loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah and Lamentation, he's our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the glorious Lord. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fire. Has he been in there with you before? This is who our Savior is. Let me tell you why I call on Jesus. Let me tell you why I will not allow his name to be silenced. Let me tell you why I praise him, because of who he is. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband. In Joel, he's the outpourer of the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's our judge and savior. In Jonah, he's our risen prophet. In Micah, he's the ruler of the world from Bethlehem. In Nahum, he's our stronghold. In Habakkuk, he is our watchman on the wall. In Zephaniah, he is the mighty savior of all. In Haggai, he is the restorer. In Zechariah, he is the branch of David, the one pierced for our righteousness. In Malachi, he is the son of righteousness. Now listen, he came to earth. And when he came to earth, he came with a new mission for us. We call it the New Testament. We call it, in Judaism, it's the second covenant for Messianic Jews. And here it is in Matthew. He is the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Christ, and the Son of the living God. In Mark, he's the servant, miracle worker. In Luke, he's the baby born in a manger, the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God, the living Word, the way, the truth, and the life. In Acts, he's the Savior of the world and ascended to sit on the right hand of the Father God. In Romans, he's the justifier. In 1 Corinthians, he is our resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, he is our comforter. In Galatians, he's our liberty. In Ephesians, he's the head of the church. In Philippians, he is our joy. In Colossians, he's the completeness of God made manifest in humanity. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is our coming King. Amen. 1 and 2 Timothy, he's our mediator. In Philemon, he is our benefactor. In Titus, he is the blessed hope. In Hebrews, he is our perfection. In James, he's the power behind our faith. In 1 and 2 Peter, he is our chief shepherd and chief cornerstone. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he is our truth and everlasting life. In Jude, he is the foundation of our faith. And Revelation, he is our King of kings and Lord. Lord of lords. I'm just reading a little bit about the bio of the one that you say you know. I want you to know who he is. This is a synopsis just a little bit about who he is. He was bruised and beaten for our healing. He was pierced and received pain for our deliverance. He was persecuted and he bought our freedom. He was dead and brought to life again by his own great glory and power. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and he brings peace. The world can't understand him. Armies can't defeat him. Schools can't explain him, and the leaders can't ignore him. Whew. This is who Jesus is. How dare people try to make him beneath or lower his name or in any way degrade the name of Jesus. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. The grave couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. Other religions can't replace him. And the world can't explain him away. He keeps coming up and he keeps standing as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want you to know this today. That one that I'm reading you a bio on far exceeds the bio of anything hell has. Far exceeds the bio of anything that exists, because it was God's glory and favor to set him at the highest place. And at his name, only at his name, in Acts chapter 4, no one can come into salvation except through the name of Jesus Christ. He's my redeemer and my savior. He's my guide and he's my peace. He's my joy and he's my comfort. He's my Lord and he rules my life. Raise your hands and praise. This is your God. Would you raise your hands and pray? I don't custom to raise my hands. You're not raising your hands for me. You're raising your hands to Jesus. You're raising your hands. It has nothing to do with me. We're acknowledging him. God, I raise my hands. We bow before you. We worship you. We praise you. God, there's not a dime of resistance here in this house. Watching online, raise your hands. This is who he is. We praise you, God, and thank you. I've read these things from Genesis to Revelation, which is a synopsis. It's a tip of who you are. But it's what we know. It's what we've read. It's what we understand. It's what history has proven. That there's a name above every name. And when I hear that, I mean there is a name above every name. That means in every circumstance that you face, in every situation that you're in, everything that exists comes in, under, and through the authority and the power of Jesus. Everything. So what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. That will make me clean and white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood that comes from Jesus. That's the answer for everyone in this house today. Every question you have, every category, I have summarily read to you just a snip of who he is, but he's what he's given us in this incredible joy book. It isn't a rule book. This is a joy book. This is the answer to everything the enemy has for me. This repulses fear. This rebukes depression. This stops confusion. This unlocks the key to my tomorrows. And I no longer have to worry or wonder. I don't have to consider the foolishness of theologies, people that have gone astray. I don't have to consider the foolishness of man's limited knowledge when I'm talking about the supreme God that lives, was, and is, and always will be, and has chosen in his wonderful way to be my counselor and my healer and my God and my redeemer by simply asking him to come. But it comes through the name of Jesus.